thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Tonight is going to be amazing. I hope that JT and Mark shared brilliantly this morning that we are so excited to start a new series in church this morning. Mark shared really well on that Jesus is our Savior. And tonight and the evening services, we'll kind of be talking about and exploring, more of God's heart and what he contains in that. And basically, to start us off, I want to say before we unpack this, I am aware that sometimes I speak very, very quickly. So if it sounds at any point that I am, sounds like I'm leading an auction or something and it's going once, going twice, going three times, please do not be afraid to like throw your Bible at me or something. Maybe don't do that, but like just wave at me or something. Tell me to slow down because I know that I do talk very, very quickly. So yeah, please, I will not be offended if you tell me to slow down. So, but as we get started, as we always do, that was really quick. As we always do, let me tell you a bit of a story. So last weekend, I think it was, Eva and I had the great privilege of doing some babysitting. Kind of first touch of looking after really young kids, and I thought it was going to be a blast, and it actually was. So a wee bit of a backstory. Eva's mum, Heather, actually found a new friend from going to the gym and stuff, and she's like, would Eva and Neural be up for maybe babysitting these young kids? We were like, yeah, 100%, we'll give it a go. So we rocked up to this house, not really knowing what to expect, and we got in, and it was 2 3-year-old twin boys. And we were like, oh, class. But they're completely identical, and like in the exact same outfit. And we were like, how on earth are we going to tell these guys apart? And I'm sure you're already thinking, like, how on earth did you manage that? That is, like, hectic. That is a nightmare. And truthfully, I have no idea. You'll be better asking Eva, because what initially was Eva and Neural looking after the two boys quickly turned into Eva looking after the three boys, because as soon as like hide and seek was mentioned, as soon as like the wee mini football was brought out, the Nerf guns, I was like gone. I was like instantly in my element. And the inner child of Neural was brought out again. And I was like, I'm away playing with these guys. Eva, you can do whatever you want here. I'm away. And it actually was brilliant. It was an absolute ball. Like we played hide and seek, we played football, we actually made 15s. Like it was honestly probably the best day of my life. It was so good. But the thing is, as soon as hide and seek was mentioned, I was like, yeah, let's do it. So we actually played hide and seek. And you see, it was one of the twins' turns to count first. So the rest of us went off, zoomed off, trying to find a really cool hiding spot to try and get away. And you know the classic countdown of a child, it's like a like this here, 1, 2, skip a few, 99, 100, here I come. And you're like, you didn't even give us the time to hide. So we're flying about, trying to hide, and this wee twin is off trying to find us. So we kind of, I think we went in behind a door of one of the rooms, like the classic hiding spot when you have no time at all. And one of the twins goes in, bursts through one door, couldn't find us. He goes back out, bursts through another door, still can't find us. Bursts through the bathroom, checks all the cupboards, can't find us. In the washing basket, nobody there. In the fridge, nobody there. Checks everywhere, and to our surprise, he does not give up. This wee twin was not giving up until he found us, and eventually he turned the corner, and he just booted the door down, and we just got crushed inside, and I was like, oh, that was quite sore, actually. But eventually, he found us, and I mean, whenever I say, like, his reaction was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. You know what that reaction whenever, like, a toddler accomplishes anything? It's like, the arms go up in the air, and it's like the biggest shout of joy is let out, and he's like, I found you, I found you, I found you. We were just like, oh, class, this is great, no worries. And then he was just so relieved to see his twin. And this was the exact reaction he had. And it was just so amazing to see his reaction. It was just so overcome with joy. He was just so relieved to be reunited with his brother. He was so relieved. And it was honestly as if it was the best thing that's ever happened to him. And see, this twin was very, very good at hide and seek. He was a very, very good seeker, probably the best I've ever played with out of my many years of playing hide and seek. And the thing is, he just did not give up until the very end. See, he is great, and he's really, really good fun. But there is somebody who is even better at this, not just at playing hide and seek, not just at playing games, but there's somebody who relentlessly pursues us all of our lives until we are found and reunited, not because it's a game, but because he loves us. And his name is Jesus. And just like the twin never gave up until he found us, Jesus has never and will never give up on us. And why is that? It's because his heart is for the lost. See, it always has been and it always will be. See, God is absolutely madly in love with his whole creation, especially you. And he will not stop searching until we are all reunited with him, because God's heart is for the lost. See, God makes this abundantly clear throughout all of the Bible. The whole Bible story is a story of how God so loved the world. I'm sure so many of us are familiar with that. And he so loves us that he gave his one and only Son for you and for me, so that we may be reunited with him, and that he can have a relationship with us. What a God. We just sang about it as well. And this brings us to our reading tonight, which is found in Luke chapter 15, if you want to turn there now. And I'm sure many people, whenever we read this, will be very familiar with Luke chapter 15 as well. It's a very well-known portion of Scripture. And I believe Luke 15 kind of encapsulates the incredible love that Jesus has for all of us. Chapter 3 involves three different parables. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. And in all three, Jesus kind of paints the exact same picture with the same kind of overarching meaning to them all. And goes something along this here. In all three of them, something gets lost, that something gets found, and the reaction is, let's have a party, because he's worth it. So something gets lost, something gets found, let's throw a party because it is worth it. And in these three, so the lost illustrate the people who simply do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, the people who are unsure of their destination after this world comes to pass. That's who the lost represent. And the one who diligently searches in all three of these parables represents God and his never-ending love for each and every lost person. See, the whole of these three parables, they're not just cool stories, but they're earthly examples of the length that God goes to show his love for us. And I believe there are three things that we will take away from this chapter as we focus on the middle one, which I'm sure you'll be happy to hear is also the shortest one too. So this leads me to my first point of tonight, which is this, that you are precious. That you are precious. We're going to find this in Luke 15, verses 8 to 10. As we read, it says this. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the whole house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Like, this is the greatest news ever. And I know that the immediate reaction for so many of us may be this here. It's only one coin. Why all that matter for just one little coin? She has nine others. Why go through all this bother and all this heartache of trying to just find another? Sure, you already have nine coins. Surely it doesn't matter that much. But her reaction to the coin just magically grabbing a pair of legs and wandering off is this. The woman lights the lamp. She sweeps the whole house, forgets everything that she is doing. Everything that once mattered to her in that moment is now pushed to the side. And her focus is on finding this coin, not stopping until she finds it. See, this coin isn't just any other coin. This coin has a huge significance. I did a bit of research on this. Scholars have said that this one coin could have been part of a collection of many coins worn around the neck of a woman, which would have shown that she was married. So it would have been like a chain of gold coins or silver coins worn around this woman's neck to show she is married, almost like the symbolism of wearing a ring. So like, imagine losing your ring, signifying that this coin was actually so precious. It actually carried such a significance. So the loss of this little one tiny coin would have been dearly felt by any woman. And rightfully so. She went to every possible length to try and find it. She was not leaving. She was not giving up until it was found. She was so dedicated to finding it. Maybe you can relate in this way as well. Has anybody ever received a really awesome, thoughtful present for a birthday or Christmas? Like something that you know somebody has put a couple of hands going up there, yeah, me too. Something that you know somebody has put a lot of time and effort and maybe some money into as well. And it's something that it's almost become part of you now. It's something that it's something to your prized possession, and it's something that you always wear all the time. You really love it. It's almost it's so close to your heart now. And you're always aware of where it is. You're always aware that every time you wake up in the morning, you know exactly where it's going to be. You know exactly where it's going to be whenever you go to put it on. Whether it be like some new trousers, whether it be some sunglasses for a holiday, or maybe a new purse, or maybe a ring, or something cool, whatever it may be. And so you wear it very often, and one day maybe you go to put it on, and all of a sudden, like, you go for the top drawer, and it's not there. Or like maybe you go to the wardrobe, and it's like, it's not there. And all of a sudden, that like feeling of losing something that is so close to you hits in, and you're like, I'm a goner here. Like, I'm busted, and there's no way I have lost this. And all of a sudden, that sinking feeling, that thought in your head is like, I have lost it. And the immediate heart-sinking feeling is like the worst feeling ever. You just feel like the world has ended, and immediately your initial reaction is like, I'm going to drop everything around me right now until I find this. Whatever it takes, you'll find the item again. And I think this happens to me at least 3 times a day as well. Like, whether it be my keys, my phone, my wallet, my trousers, my hoodie, wherever it may be. People say I'm late all the time, and it's most likely because I've probably lost everything and I'm trying to find it, and I don't really let on sometimes. But the point I'm trying to make is this. Whenever we lose something that means so much to us and is so dear to our hearts, we will do absolutely anything to try and find it. We will tip the house upside down and put everything aside until it is brought back to us. And you see, Jesus says this is the exact same as how God is with us. See, his heart is breaking for the lost, and he cares deeply for each and every person. He is in a relentless pursuit of you because he loves you so much. And when we wander astray and we ourselves render ourselves lost, God has never counted you out. He's never rendered you lost. See, you, yes, you are his prized possession. And he longs to be reunited with you, his wonderful creation. And maybe you feel a bit like this lost coin in here tonight. Somewhat insignificant in the grand scheme of things. That maybe God doesn't care about me. Why would he? God doesn't need me. He already has a full church in here tonight. He already has his people. Why would he want me to? Let me tell you this. God's heart is for you. In fact, there isn't a single person that he doesn't care about in here tonight. There isn't a total amount of people that God will get to someday and think, oh, that's enough. No, I've already got like 10,300,000. I'll just stop there. I'm happy enough for that. No, he cares for you. He cares for each and every person you know as well. You are so significant in his eyes, for you are his prized possession. You are part of his creation. And since the beginning of time, God has been on a mission to gather all his people back to him to show his great love for us. See, even though the coin had been lost, it still belonged to the woman. It was still in her possession. And it's the same for us. Even though some of us may be lost in this room, even so some of us may be unaware of God, we still belong to him. He's the one who sustains our every single breath. It's a miracle that we're in here tonight. For he is our creator, and he is our good, good father, and we belong to him. If you don't believe me, the Bible says this in Genesis 1, verses 27. It says this is the very, very beginning of time. It says God created mankind in his own image. He created you in his image. He cares for you. He took so much time to make you. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Every single one of us. Again, in Psalm 139, verse 14, it says this. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. See, God took so much time to make you. He took precise time in making you. Why? Because he cares for you. He didn't just fling you into the sky. He didn't just fling you under this earth for no reason. But he took his time and made you exactly how he wants you to be. This shows us that you're not just any small coin. You're not just an insignificant one other person in this church pew tonight. See, you are part of God's beautiful creation. And he cares dearly, dearly for you as one of his own. See, his heart longs for you. John 3:16 also says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, Jesus will, or God will go to every single length to showcase his love for us, even onto the cross. He already shows us and given his whole life for us. Why? Because we'll say it over and over again, because God's heart is for the lost. His love isn't just displayed in the searching for us, but even more so in the celebration when he finds us. Which brings me on to my second takeaway from tonight, which is this, that you bring him joy. turn to the person beside you and say, you bring them joy, and give them a lovely big smile. The biggest smile you can bring. You bring them joy. We see, you bring them joy. Big see, you bring them joy. Everyone brings them joy. And think about this for a second. Us, like human beings, bring the creator of the universe joy. It's incredible. What on earth does that even mean? Let's read again at verses 9 to 10 to see the reaction of this coin being found. It says this, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. See, the moment the woman found the coin, she was overwhelmed. She was overcome with this uncontainable joy, and her immediate reaction was this. I'm going to throw a party. Like, I'm going to gather everyone around me. I cannot keep this to myself. I'm going to tell everybody because this is so exciting. I'm going to go gather everybody. This is how much this means to me. And maybe you can relate to this here as well. And I was chatting to Dad about this, and he kind of brought this and made me laugh a wee bit as well. And I'm sure loads of people can relate to this, but has anybody ever, like, I don't know, maybe you have like an old pair of trousers, like an old jacket that you maybe haven't worn for a wee while, and maybe there's a jacket that's collecting dust for a while, or an old pair of trousers that you wear once in every month, and you wake up one day and you randomly just think, like, fuck, you know what, I'll stick them on today. I'll stick those pair of trousers on, or maybe I'll stick that jacket on today. And then you're thinking nothing of it, and then you're walking down the town maybe, or whatever it may be, and then you kind of like feel this rustle in your pocket, and you're like, oh, that's probably an old receipt or something there. And then you go to take out this receipt, and to your surprise, it's like a fiver. And it's like, oh my word, it's like the most unexpected thing ever. And like a 5-pound note in your hand. And it's like, this is the best thing ever. Where it'll be a 20-pound note. And like what you thought it may have been, it's completely different. Like you could have been having the worst day ever, but the fact that you found this 5-pound coin is like the best thing ever. And now you're like walking through the town, like trying to be all nonchalant, trying to be like, oh, come on. And you're trying to like keep all the joy in, trying to keep all your excitement. And you're like, oh, like showing all the people walking past, I've got this fiver now, I've got this 20 quid note, it's the best thing ever. You see, this kind of happened to me a wee bit. We were playing golf, JJ doesn't even know this, but we were playing golf, and it was one of my first actual rounds of golf, and it was in Port Stewart, I believe, wasn't it? In Port Stewart, and I was playing all right, I'd say. It wasn't too great, I was pretty rubbish, but I was hitting a couple of stinker shots, and then Josh and JT would drive a ball like 5 million yards, and I would maybe hit it off the tee, but 100 yards, and so they'd be on ahead, they'd be walking way ahead of mine, and then I would be hitting trust and just maybe going 2 or 3 yards. I was like, this is not going anywhere. And I said, like, put my hand in the jacket, and I was all of a sudden pull out 20 quid. And I was like, oh, come on, this is the best thing ever. So, like, every single shot I hit after that, there, I was like, this honestly doesn't matter. I have found 20 quid, this is the best day ever. And so, so exciting. And the reason I say this is that we all know the feeling of finding something that was lost. It's like this immediate like fist pump, and it's this like overwhelming sense of joy. It's like, I have found that. I didn't even know it was lost, to be fair, but it was lost, and now I've found it. And everything that is lost that we find is usually followed with a celebration. And this, again, is the picture that Jesus paints in this parable. That when the lost get found, all of heaven rejoices. Wow. All of heaven celebrates. And we think finding a fiver in your pocket, I think sometimes finding 20 quid in the pocket when I'm having a stinker on the golf course is joyous and maybe cheer me up. But the joy that heaven experiences whenever just one sinner repents is incomparable to anything else. It's incomparable to any joy that we'll ever experience. It's amazing. I mean, just think for a second. Jesus himself, along with all of heaven, throwing a party, rejoicing, singing, laughing, dancing at the mere fact of one sinner repenting. Just one. Just you. Just me. Just one of your family members. That's what happened whenever I gave my life to Jesus. That's what happened when you give your life to Jesus. All of heaven rejoiced. It's incredible. And if that doesn't portray the love of God, I don't know what else will. If that doesn't show how much God's heart breaks for you and how much he longs for you, I don't know what will. And notice this, how the woman's reaction isn't a, oh, I found it, but it took so much time. Notice it isn't a frustration that, oh, I was looking for ages, now I'm knackered, I'll just throw my feet up now, I've been searching for so long. In fact, the immediate reaction is, come on, let's get in, I'm just going to celebrate now. See, it's a joy that forgets everything else going on and everything that was put in the process and results in celebration. In this story, we read and understand that the concept that Jesus is trying to tell us And please understand that this is the most relieving thing for so many people in this room, that the searching is not a burden for God. The relentless pursuit of Jesus trying to chasing you down is not tiring for him. In fact, the pursuit brings God joy. Our salvation brings him joy. The one who flung the stars into the sky, the one who spoke and everything around us right now, everything that we've ever seen, known and loved, came to existence at the single words of his mouth, finds joy in seeing you come to know him. That's incredible. This is how much you mean to him. And this is because God's heart is for the lost. Luke 19:10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." See, you are the reason Jesus came to this earth. It's because of his love for you. Let me tell you why. The world, God made the world and it was perfect, and he made mankind, as we said, in his image. And then mankind sinned, and then sin entered the world. And then there was a gap and there was a separation between God and mankind. And God's heart broke at this, and he knew there needed to be a savior. And so Jesus left the throne room of heaven in all of his love and all of his mercy and placed himself inside of Mary, inside of the womb of Mary. And he was born and he grew up just like you and I did. He hungered, he thirsted, he laughed. However, he lived a perfect, sinless life. And yet he still went to the cross for you and I, willingly taking on the most humiliating death known to man, bearing all of the suffering, taking upon our sin and our shame, and dying for it all on the cross, all so that we could be reunited to him. This is because he always has had you on his mind. This is because his heart has always been broken for you ever since the beginning of time. And the Bible clearly illustrates this point a wee bit further in the book of Hebrews, where it says this, in Hebrews 12, verses 2 to 3, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." See, all of the suffering Jesus went through, all of the pain he went through, was worth it, all because of the joy that he finds in being reunited with his creation. I'll say that again. All the suffering Jesus had to go through, all the pain he went through, all because of the joy he finds in being reunited with you. The reason Jesus came to seek and to save the lost was because of his joy for you. It is because God's heart is for the lost. Again, Jesus willingly went to the cross because he saw the joy that all of heaven would experience when you, yes, you, every single one of us, comes to repentance and enters a relationship with him. That is how much his heart longs for you. That is how much he loves you. And again, you are never a burden to God. Please catch that tonight, that you are never a burden to God. Your journey has never been exhaustive for God to continually chase. It brings him joy to see you grow closer and eventually see your salvation, no matter how long your journey has been. Which brings me to my final takeaway from tonight, which is this. You're never out of sight. You're never out of sight. See, the incredible truth of this passage is that there's never been anybody who has been too far gone. Simple as that. There's never been anybody who has been too far gone. There is no place too far that you can go to escape the love of God. No matter how filthy you may feel, no matter how many wrong decisions you may feel you have made, or how long you feel like you've been running from God, you have never left his sight, and you will never leave his sight. You're never too far gone to come back to him. There's still an opportunity. Now, if we quickly rewind to the story we talked about at the very start with the twins and us kind of playing hide and seek. See, the twin, like I said, was very, very good at seeking, probably the best I've ever played with, top three anyway. He was very, very good. And eventually, after his pursuit, he found us. But the thing is this, yes, while it was impressive, we were confined to four walls. There actually wasn't too far that we could go. See, if we had went outside, if we had went out of the perimeter of the walls or of the house, we would have been too far gone. If we had maybe went outside, went across the road, went into the neighbor's garden, we would have been too far gone for him to find us. And you see, he eventually would have given up. He would have been like, nah, they're literally gone. I can't find them anywhere. And I say this because this. There are people who may lose their patience. We're human beings. People can give up on us. But Jesus has never given up on anybody, ever. By the goodness and grace of our loving God, he searches and he searches until he finds us. See, there is nothing that we can do that prompts God to say, nah, he's been running for too long. Now he's not worth it anymore. God has been and always been in relentless pursuit of you. We heard testimonies this morning of people getting saved in their 80s and their 90s. See, that is a living testimony of God saying, no, I'm never going to stop pursuing you. If that was true, he would have stopped at year 10, year 20, year 30. But no, at 80 and 90, he's still following and pursuing us, never giving up on us. He's waiting for you to turn and give your life to him. And the truth is this. The gift of salvation is for everyone. The Bible says it's for the whosoever. Romans 10:13 says this, for whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no rule book. There is no standard that has to be made before you come to Jesus. There's no ethnicity. There's no race. There's no anybody that's confined to this. It's not invite only. Jesus opens the invitation to everybody. He says, whosoever will call upon my name will be saved. Let me tell you about a guy who you probably think, and he probably thought himself he was too far gone. There's a man who was born around 9 AD. He was called Saul. He grew up living a life studying under many, many Pharisees and teachers of the law. Therefore, he was deep, deep, deep in Jewish religion. Saul then grew up as part of the Sanhedrin, where he developed a strong, strong hatred for Jesus and the ones who followed him, so much so that he stood and watched the very first person to ever be stoned and killed for following Jesus. Some say he even held the cloaks of the people who threw the stones. See, this man's anger towards Jesus grew and grew as he was known for chasing down any followers of Jesus, persecuting them, slandering them, and throwing them straight into prison because simply they followed Jesus. See, he didn't just run from God. He didn't just disobey him, but he actually hated Christians. He wanted nothing to do with them. He didn't want anything to do with Jesus. In fact, Christians boiled his blood so much so that he just wanted to chase them and put them into prison. Now you hear that and you think, surely he's too far gone. Surely he's past the limit now. However, Jesus, out of his love and his mercy, he met this man on the road to Damascus. Some of you may know who this guy is. He's called Paul. See, Paul encountered Jesus probably to his own disbelief that Jesus would want anything to do with him. But Jesus had still not given up on him. And he changed his life around, as we read in Acts 9. For time's sake, we'll not read it all tonight. And then this guy, Paul, had one encounter with Jesus, completely changed his life around. Notice how Jesus did not condemn him. He did not say anything about him. But he gave Paul a new life. He completely transformed his life around. And then Paul went on to be one of the greatest evangelists for Jesus the world has ever seen. He wrote 13 of the books in the New Testament as well. And he actually was the one who wrote that verse we just read in Romans 10:13. It says, the whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He is a living testimony that God has never given up on you. And he will never give up on anybody. See, there is never a point of no return. As we bring a night to a close, I would love the worship team to come up and join me, if that's all right. And a wee while ago, I came across this verse, and it just stopped me, and I couldn't stop thinking about it, and I believe it's for some people in here tonight as well. And Mark shared a very similar one in 1 Timothy as well this morning. As in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, we find this. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anybody to perish, but he wants everybody to come to repentance. I'll say it again, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anybody to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. This is Peter's reaction to him saying there will be scoffers that will say, where is this Jesus that said he would come back again? This is his reaction to people saying, where is this promised Messiah who said would come back again, restore all things? And Peter's reaction is saying this, that Jesus hasn't came back because he doesn't want an eternity without you. He doesn't want you to miss out. This is him saying that you are the reason he hasn't came back yet, because he loves you so much. He longs for his creation to be reunited with him. God, the creator of the universe, does not want you to miss out. He is patient in his searching for you. because he desperately longs for you to experience his love. It's the best love you'll ever experience in your life. And maybe you're in here tonight, and maybe you've been living this lie, thinking that I'm too far gone now. I've made too many rash decisions. Maybe you're thinking I've been chasing or running away from God for too long now. I've done too much wrong. He'll never accept me. We've just read of a testimony that God never, ever turned his back on us, and you're never too far gone, and it's never too late. I believe God really wants you to know tonight that he is patient with you, and he has never stopped loving you, so much so that he knew everything you would do, every single thing, every sin, past, present, and future, and yet he still went to the cross for you, and you were on his mind on that cross. We said over and over again here tonight, but I want to say this, that if you were the only person on earth, Jesus still would have went to that cross for you. If you were the only person on earth, Jesus still would have went to that cross for you. That's how much he loves you. Salvation is for everyone and anyone. And if you think you're lost right now, let me tell you that Jesus is your hope. That Jesus is the answer. He will give you an ultimate purpose in life. And in him we find never-ending love. In him we find when we can be sure of where our eternity lies with him. I want to say, if you've never given your life to Jesus, why not tonight? What are you waiting for? If something has resonated with you in here tonight, maybe something has sparked it, maybe your heart's going like 999 million miles an hour tonight, and you're thinking, what on earth is that going on inside of me? I want to tell you, that's Jesus calling you home, and he wants you to come home tonight. So please, please do not leave tonight without talking to somebody. We would love to pray for you. There's plenty of people in here who would love to pray for you tonight, who would love to talk to you and lead you to Jesus. Do not leave without talking to somebody. Everybody here is longing as well for you to come to know Jesus. And I promise you, following Jesus is the best decision you will ever make in your life. You will never regret it. He is the one who gives you life and life to the full. So as we close tonight, let me pray. Father, I thank you that you have never rendered us lost. You have never rendered us forsaken. But Father, I thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you that since the very beginning of time, Lord, that your heart has been broken for us. I thank you that in your love and your mercy, you continually chase us down. So God, I pray for, Lord, whoever it is in here tonight, God, that needs to hear this. I pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts tonight, Father. God, that you would allow them, Lord, to be vulnerable and open, God, and speak to somebody tonight, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would call them home. And God, if somebody, Lord, has a touch of inspiration to come to you tonight, Father, Lord, I pray, God, there would be no condemnation, but Father, as a church family, Lord, we would celebrate and rejoice with all of heaven, God, at just the sound of one sinner repenting. So, Father, I pray, Lord, would your spirit fall in power and in movement tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that your closeness would be so real tonight. Father, I pray that your nearness would be felt, Lord, tonight. So, Father, I pray, Lord, would salvation come upon this house tonight? And would you call your people home? In Jesus' name I pray.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.